It's not shared one. No. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Jeff. Buddha, Pujayam. Dhamma, Pujayam. Sangham, Pujayam. Okay, there we go. You can be seated, then we can have our meditation. Okay? Half an hour meditation.
Here off the light, then you okay, start your meditation. I will set the alarm to go off at the 30 minutes interval. Just relax body and mind, silent everything, and allow the mind to be. Yeah? Then your mundane mind should settle down on its own. Then if you are patient enough, you can continue to just relax and maintain awareness. Then you will get to experience the true mind, the silent mind. For those who already know how to meditate, you can just continue. Yeah. For those who need to train the mind, you can do so too. The training can come in two ways. You'll find that the heedless thinking is still there. Then the spiritual faculty are not stable. Then the mental hindrance, the five mental hindrance, they are still active. So in order to temporarily overcome them, you need to use mind sweeping method combined with loving kindness or metta to decondition the heedless thinking and bring about the silent mind. Then after that, develop anapanasati to stabilize that sati or mindfulness, that silent mind. So that your mindfulness is stable. Mindfulness of the in and out breath is a very good technique. So this is also a very neutral object of meditation, which is suitable for most people, most personality. Okay, with that, I will allow you to just develop the meditation. Then when the alarm goes off, I will ring the bell. Then you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. those who still wants to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. Okay, then we turn to page 6. We will chant the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakavalesu ataha gacchantu devata saddhammam munirajasa sunantu sakamokkada ankalo ayang badanta dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta namo atassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa namo atassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa namo atassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa iti peso bhagava arahaṃ sammā sambuddho vicācarana sampanno sukato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati tadeva manusana buddho bhagavati suakato bhagavata dhammo sandhittiko akaliko ehi paseko opanayiko pachyatang veditabo venohiti supatipano bhagavato savakasango ujupatipano bhagavato savakasango nyaya patipano bhagavato savakasango samichi patipano bhagavato savakasango yadidang chatari purisa yukani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato savakasango ahuneyo pahuneyo dakineyo anjali karaneyo anotarang punyaketang lokasati respect Triple Gem. Budang Pujerimi. Damang Pujerimi. Sanghang Pujerimi. Okay. You can be seated, huh? Just relax body and mind. Then you can continue with our second session, huh? Reporting of meditation followed by Q&A. Huh? There is a sheet of paper. Huh? I think this is for tonight's note, lesson 81. Huh? But before that, we let whoever wants to report meditation or ask any question, you can. Anybody? Because you will have the opportunity to report report your meditation and ask the question before we go to the notes. If we go to the notes, I think by the time we finish, it's already almost 10:30. Anybody? Ah, good. Tell me. Yeah.
I want to ask.
Yeah.
Is
yes.
What I notice is that. I remember a few weeks ago I said that we have no choice, something like that, that we, due to the karmic force, we need to do according to whatever the condition is, and we just...
In a certain sense, yes. But not the absolute sense. I will explain it after. So.
Okay.
What is your question?
My question is like... For example, if I was driving,
yes.
Then I have this habit that I want to keep to the left lane.
Yes.
And then when I didn't notice, I just keep to the left lane. But I notice I also will choose to keep to the left lane. It's like, as I said, it's no choice. And then, so it's like, now this one is I notice. Some of them, I don't notice, I just follow. You know, so.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So it's like even I noticed it, then I was like thinking, whether to keep to the left lane so we go faster, need to investigate.
I know.
Yeah, it's just
okay. I think I understand what you are trying to drive at. Okay, I will answer your query. Very good. Thank you so much for the good question. So the first part, when you mention about karma. The Buddha did say we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. I better use that mic because this one is starting to give problem. Okay, thank you. Off it and on back. I think it.
Testing.
I think it's the player. It's okay. Never mind. Just leave it. Hopefully, after a while, it's gone. Oh. Testing. 1, 2, 3. Okay. Hopefully it won't disturb us anymore. Coming back to karma, as I have mentioned, the Buddha said we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma. So in that aspect, it is true. But not everything is due to karma, understand? Like I explained, We have the five pancha niyamas, universal order, that governs all of life and existence. Law of karma is only one of the five. The first two are scientific law, uttu niyama and bija niyama, means nature's physical order and biological order that governs all aspects of physical law and biological order. Then we have the law of karma, which is the third one. Then the fourth one is law of mind. And your mind is very powerful. Mind, citta, has its own power. That's why there is a nature's law that operates at that level. The Buddha called it order of the mind, citta niyama. But this mind, because it arises mental intention, so what happens is, whatever mental intention that comes with the arising of the mind also create karma. You understand? So mind not only has its order, but it is also closely associated with karma. But mind got two types. One is the mundane mind. The other one is the true mind. Then within the mundane mind, when the form and mind meditate, awaken, then the wisdom connected, then that same mind transform and become the supramundane mind. You understand? So to be precise, you have the mundane mind, which can become the supramundane mind when the wisdom is connected after you awaken, when there is the enlightenment happening. Then the other one is the true mind. The true mind is when the mundane mind ceases to be, the true mind will be there. But this true mind can also cease. Then when it ceases, it will allow the what they call form and mind to realize nibbana. Because the cessation of form and mind is the unconditioned. So you like return to the source. You cannot talk about it because it is an unconditioned realization. It's not a mind. It's not a mind state anymore. It's not even the pure awareness. No more. Everything ceases. So this fourth nature's order, citta niyama, is very powerful too. Then the last one is the dhamma niyama, universal order of dhamma. So because of that, all these five nature's universal order, they interact at all time and keep on arising. So that's the reason why not everything is due to karma. Karma is one aspect. But whatever that happened to you, like the Buddha say, the form and mind is subject to karma. So this form and mind is definitely born of karma. Then it will inherit everything that karma gives. Then, like the Buddha said, not only you are born of karma, you are heir to your karma, you are also conditioned and supported by your karma every moment, every instant. And you are what you are because of your karma. So like your question, you say sometimes you drive, you thought everything is like conditioning you to do all those things. In a way, you can say it's karmic. But then, you have to understand what karma is. Karma is, I have to use the whiteboard. Karma is karmic volition. You understand? Karmic volition. Then what you need to understand is, you have a karmic nature. Karmic nature. This one is not you, although I use the word. You know what is this karmic nature or not? What is this karmic nature? What is this karmic nature? You have to understand this word. Not? Because this one is not a being, no? It's a nature, like your spiritual nature. What is it? All of your spiritual cultivation and perfection, you summation it up, it becomes that nature. Understand? The spiritual nature. So karmic nature is the same. The summation of all your karmic volition. Karmic volition. So maybe you can say since the first thought of ignorance. How do you write? From zero to infinity. Actually not in infinity. To the present moment. To the present moment. So since the first thought of ignorance, that start, okay, then there is karmic volition. So the summation of every moment of your thought process that you arise since the distant past until now develop this karmic nature. That's why this karmic nature is very powerful. Yeah. But this karmic nature is not static, understand not? This one is continuously evolving. Continuously evolving. Means every moment when you arise, your mental intention or mental volition from now onward, it will add on to the karmic nature. That's why we, as Buddhists, we always say, your life is not predestined. You know what is predestined, isn't it? Like everything is fixed. No. You have to understand this sentence. The past condition you. Condition and support. But this word is very important. It does not dominate over you. You understand this statement, isn't it? Let's say at any moment in life, let's say this moment now, okay, this moment, whatever before is your past, isn't it? True or not? This one you cannot change, correct or not? You cannot change. So this karmic part, which is the past, which is the karmic part, the karma or karmic aspect, because the summation of all the past is your karmic nature. So this one you cannot change because the past is already gone. So at this moment, as an individual, this moment, you are born of this karmic nature. You inherit everything that this one has. Then you are conditioned and supported by this karmic nature. And you are what you are every moment, every instant, because of your karma. Or karmic nature. So that is the teaching, the reality. But moment to moment, after this moment, you have a choice. Do you understand? So moment to moment, so this one is after this moment. It's not destined, understand? No? It's not fixed. You have a choice. You have a choice. So this choice depends on your understanding or your delusion or your wisdom or whatever. So most human beings, they got no choice. Like what you are trying to explain. Why? Because they don't have wisdom, they don't have understanding. So their life, they will continuously depend on their karmic past. So if their karmic past is full of delusion, ignorance, leading to heedlessness, then this thing will continuously condition them into negativity. Yeah. But then, as I say, this is evolving as well. So this form of mind, as it continues to suffer, until one day it had enough, it will wake up, understand? And it will decide to do something else. And then he will find new condition because he has affinity from the past too, which you may not know. Then sometimes the condition just arise, then his life change, his fortune change, where he take another what they call path. Then this karmic thing also, you have to understand, if you have understanding and wisdom, and you know how to make the vow and the aspiration, all those things, you can actually avoid. Because karma is like that. When there is condition, it arises. When there is no condition, it ceases to be. You understand? So if you have the wisdom and the understanding to prevent the arising of the condition, then the probability of that karma bearing fruition is very, very low. Yeah. Or unlikely to happen. Unless it's very heavy karma. You understand? The five heavy karma. So that's the reason why I say the past condition you. This statement is very important. The past condition you, but it does not dominate over you. Means after this present moment, moment to moment, you have a choice. You can decide what you want to do. So that answer your first part. I think the unit got problem. Maybe you got to buy another one. Better buy a spare, tell Suyan when he come back. So no need to, like, every time having this type of unnecessary problem. Buy two or so, never mind, just keep it. Then we can alternate it. I myself use this one. Okay. So that is the first part. So when you live life that time, like you say, when you are driving, sometimes you are conscious. You can make that choice and decision because sometimes it could be you are conditioned to think that way. Or you are conscious and you want to make that decision. You want to keep to the left because you believe it's better to do that. But then, you say after you drive for a while, when you are not conscious or not aware, especially those without awareness. Without awareness, you become heedless, then karmic take over and yourself. So if you allow that heedlessness to bring about the karmic conditioning, and then accident can happen. Other things can happen. Understand? But if you are aware, alert, you can avoid the condition. Then your negative karma that can lead to maybe accident or what, may not happen. Why? Because you take precaution. So when you are more heedful, when you are more careful, when you are more attentive, when you are more experienced in developing the driving skill, when you make sure your car is in proper maintenance condition, you understand or not? It's like functioning. Otherwise, you don't take care, sometimes for no reason, your brake can fail. But nowadays, less seldom. Last time, during the olden day, car tend to have this tendency. I didn't know until one day I got it. I remember I was driving along, I was working in JKR. I had to drive to the district, Kuala Selangor district, Kuala Langat. Then they call it Sepang area, Sepang area. So last time, my two districts were normally there from waterworks. So I have this site which is quite remote. So I have to drive sometime to the village and all that. Then I pass through a village road where there is a part flooded with water. But not too deep. I was confident the car can pass because I saw other car pass. So I also drove past. But I didn't know last time the car is not so good. No? Do you realize the brake pad? Last time the brake pad, you cross the river, the brake pad, because the water, because it's a lot of water inside there, it come out. If you didn't brake, you don't know. No? But immediately after short distance you brake, there is no brake at all. No? Because when you press, the brake pad still with the water, no grip on. I was so surprised. No? The car just move at normal speed, no, and bang the floor. Oh, that was 1980. Then I learned. Then I dare not drive after that. Then I try to understand what happened. Where I'm a science student. Before I crossed the stream, there was no such problem. After I crossed the stream, I have such problem. Then I can't stop the car. Until it bang, then only it stop. Then of course I have to settle with the person I bang. So I gave him my contact. Then he gave me his contact. Then we say, okay, we repair ourselves so that don't have to pay the fine. I will pay for his repair. Then I save my NCB and all those things. Then after that, I dare not drive. But I have to go to my work site, And I have to drive back, So I say, cannot be. Now no Google, that time. Cannot check. Cannot even ask people. So what I did was, I try a lot of things. I test the brake again. How come no grip? So I say, worst case scenario, I'm going to pull my handbrake. So I started driving again, but slowly. Then as I step, still not much. Then I realized, no matter how I step on the brake pad, no use, not much use. Then I try to ram it. You know what is ram it? It means pump it. As I pump, the water come out from the brake pad. Then I regain my braking ability. Then I know. The next time I cross any water pond or water pool, I will ram the brake. Understand? I will just slide on. But now they new car on it. I think no more that problem. Last time they didn't know, so they got this type of problem. So there are a lot of things that if you are careful, what I'm trying to tell you, you can avoid. Understand? So my case was, there's no reason for that accident, but because of the pool of water that is conditioned, and it's for me to learn. Understand not? That's why I say, for your case too, if you are mindful, if you are heedful, if you are alert, if you are careful, that's why ever since that incident until now, I mean touch wood, sometimes you say, then the karmic thing come on. Like last time when I was in the university, there was a group of friends, classmates, because we drive motorbike, you know. I'm very good at motorbike. I can drive until both hands also free from the handle. And nothing happened to me. Then because I was so like egoic, proud at that time. So out of the moment, I say, you know, I say I have never got an accident ever since I got my license. The moment I say that, inside, I felt it, you know. I said, say it, because inside warned me, you know. That time, I was meditating, but not long. That inside warned me, you know. And I don't know what is it, you know. And you know what happened, you know? That night, I went down to KL. I think we go down for, stimulate, you go for supper, where you go. Lido there, at the back, the char kway teow and all those things. So, the tai chow, so we went. Then on the way back, we all drive separately, you see. So I was driving along the Federal Highway. Before I reached MU, there were this pothole on the Federal Highway, you know, I didn't know. And as usual, I was driving, but I was not showing off. I didn't put my hand on the handle. But because I was so skillful, I held on with one hand, and the other hand, I just relaxed. But when I hit that pothole, you know what happened? Both my hand, because I didn't hold the motorbike tightly, because I was very skillful, my hand slipped down, and the whole motorbike slide, and I fell. Luckily, no car behind me, nothing, I just bruised. And that time, got jeans, so the leg not so bad. But my hand was quite bad. Then with the helmet, okay. That's how I learned. Then this time, what I want to tell you is also, ever since that incident, until now, I never have car accident. I never have any car accident. That's why with your skill, with your understanding, you can avoid. And my wife used to tell me, you must not only drive carefully, you must drive defensively. Defensive driving. You know what is defensive driving? I experienced it one time. That time I just came out of the world, and my brother lent me his car. Because I helped him to put petrol, everything on company. Last time, company car, your petrol free, your road tax free, your insurance also free. Then maintenance also free. So he liked to lend me on the weekend. I drive to the work site. Then after that, I come back, the petrol tank full. So when I was driving from Alastair to Penang, because it's about 60 miles is about 100 km. I'm very familiar with that road, but that is a old federal road, one lane up, one lane down. Very difficult to overtake car on. Very difficult to overtake big vehicle like lorry and all those things. So I was driving as usual. But because that time my mindfulness and awareness was very good, then that time young, I was very skillful with my driving. So as I was driving, there was a queue. Quite a queue, but everybody was like very obedient. Means we are traveling at quite a speed. But because all the cars are following, nobody overtake and all those things. So it was quite a smooth drive. Then all of a sudden, I saw, in front of me, about four cars away, the guy brake, emergency brake. After he emergency brake, the two car behind him smashed into it. I was the fourth car. Then I knew already. If I brake, maybe I can avoid the third car. And I can feel the third car will not miss the party. He also banged. Because it was very fast. Do you know what happened? I was so alert. I looked at my rear mirror. No, that crazy guy was driving at such a high speed. No, and he didn't see. No, and I know he will hit me. You know what I did? I just brake and ran to the side table. After I went to the side table, he missed me, and he banged the car in front of me. You see how heedless he was. And that time, I learned. That's why I say my good karma, not supposed. Because my brother's car, you know, how to pay when that I just came out to work. And that impact is very, very strong, very severe. So not easy. Not easy. Better use back this mind. So this is how I know.
You do it.
Because this one is connected to the main power.
Which one? The connection.
Okay. It's okay. Now we have to endure it today. Oh, you pull this brown one out. Pull the brown one out. Also same. Then it's... No, you're off the main. Off the main. Just now you're off the main. It's okay.
Because this one, the recording is off.
Never mind.
It means... You were off at that, I need to on again.
Oh, you need to on again.
You can join the files?
Yeah.
Okay.
You off, you have to save it first.
Huh?
Save it first.
Stop it first.
Okay, the recording is on. Luckily Tammy is a backup. So we have to depend on Tammy. Why is still affecting? What is happening? Testing. 1, 2, 3. Wow.
This is from the main.
No, it's just like a bit. After a while, maybe like last time, it go back to normal. You have to be patient. If you are not patient, it continues to disturb you. You get agitated. It becomes worse. When you accept it for what it is, after a while, I think it happened once. It go back to normal. Yes. Angie, yes. I use this one. Never mind, I use this one.
Yeah, Brother Teo.
Yes.
You know the book, New Earth by Eckhart Tolle. It talks about a higher consciousness among all people. Because he started off with saying that majority of the people are insane, right? Now that we are coming to the age of
the new earth, the world is going to have the new consciousness.
Is that a good thing?
Yeah,
a good thing to say that people are not so divisive anymore, right?
Not only less divisive. You see, I will explain this. Thank you for the good question. Use like that one. Okay. You see, what is happening is the world of consciousness, according to Eckhart, as more and more people are conscious or aware, to him he used the word conscious, to us aware. Because the word for me is different. When you are conscious of life, you may not be aware of life. Understand?
because you exist through life. Even the headless, they are conscious of life, understand? If you are not conscious, how can you go around, understand? You are a conscious being, understand? But you are not aware within, understand? So the consciousness of the world is a summation of all the beings on this planet, you understand? So as the consciousness evolve, means there are more and more percentage of this conscious being that are aware, that are mindful, that has the higher consciousness. So what he is trying to say is, when you reach certain critical mass, like I explained the other, you know, Thursday or Tuesday class, I forgot already, or Sunday class, the critical mass or Sunday class, when you reach the critical mass, like nuclear reaction, the activity moves by itself, you cannot stop it. So the new consciousness is like that, like what I told you, you actually need less than 1% of the living being, or human being, especially on this planet, to have that new consciousness, to have the inner awareness and the understanding of life. Yeah. So when you are aware, conscious, you are not headless. Your consciousness is different. You are more mindful. You are more wise. You understand. And you are more caring, loving. You got this understanding. And your nature is kindness, goodness, gentleness, pleasantness. You can't kill, you can't harm people, and all those things. Because whatever negativity, the conscious being or the being with the awareness, they are very sensitive. They know this is harmful. This will bring about suffering. So they can never allow all this to happen. They say when you are hateful, mindful, you are different. You are different. And the Buddha said the moment you are hateful and mindful, you are destined for enlightenment. So he said hatefulness is the path to be deathless. The hateful never die. Whereas the hateless are accepted. So this understanding is very important. So based on this understanding, Eckhart, in his first book, Power of Now, he teaches you to assess the present moment. This, when you are with the present moment in silent awareness, you are not lost in thought. You are not heedless. You are not thinking. That's why he teaches the power of now. And he said the best path to enter the power of now is through your feeling. Feeling. You just feel and silent everything. And you can assess your power of now. Please stay away within. It's actually teaching you how to realize that true mind, not true nature. That's why he said you must be aware of your thinking and all those things. Then your pain body. He used the word pain body. Actually, pain body is emotional negativity. So he said your pain body, if there is no condition, it is dormant. Dormant means it doesn't trigger off. Understand? A pain body is a body when you touch, you trigger off, it brings about pain or suffering to you. Understand? So if this pain body is dormant, means there is no condition to make you angry, to make you emotional, or fearful and all those things. So this is how he shared. Instead of using greed, hatred and delusion, the evil roots and all those things, he used the word pain body or emotional negativity. So when there is this pain body, if it's dormant, you are peaceful. But the moment it's active, you are subject to pain. That's why suffering will be the result. So pain body is an emotional negativity born of delusion. Because you already accumulated, cling and hold on to that. Like your phobia. your whatever scars or memory, your fear, your delusion, your wrong thought. So every time when you are in that situation or condition, it will trigger off that memory. Then you become affected. You suffer. So he uses different words. So when he talk about the new earth, the new consciousness is more and more of the beings on this planet having this ability to become more and more mindful and more conscious. And they will develop the ability to have this higher consciousness. The higher consciousness means the higher intelligence or wisdom. So when there is more of this being, you condition the heedless to become better people. It's just like whatever that has the bigger number will influence a smaller number. You understand? But when it comes to consciousness, it's a different ballgame. You don't need many. You only need a few. About 1% or less than 1%. And then you can bring about transformation and change. Because the way they do it is through wisdom, through their consciousness. And the consciousness, most people can feel. Like we share the blue book, the Bodhisattva way. You remember? Who are the Bodhisattva? They are the one with the power of mind, understand? Very calm, very still, very tranquil. You feel secure and confident around the state of being. Because you can trust them, you can feel them. They are so different. And they manifest all this quality through their words, their action, and their understanding. So this is how 1%, about slightly less also, about 1%, means every 100 you have one, then the whole consciousness will evolve and change for the better. That's why you look at Malaysia, we are very blessed, you know. That's why I already told the Kalamitas, I have been ready. Malaysia is very blessed, but I can feel the consciousness has evolved. There are a lot of special beings, our great beings, born in Malaysia, I tell you. Even a lot of your Kalamita, you may not know your potential when the time comes, different. And the way you learn this Dhamma, and the way you conduct yourself, and the way you train your mind, with your merits, with your understanding, and honestly, you have evolved and become very different without yourself knowing it. Sometimes you doubt because you use your thought, and so the thought cannot understand. But when you go to your nature, it's different. And like I used to share with you all, every of this session, maybe Thursday class or Sunday class, or even house dinner, or whatever spiritual trip and other thing, or even our retreat, gathering of karmita. The environment we are in, the condition that flow through, they are very wholesome, very conducive for wholesomeness. And also it brings about a lot of good condition for spiritual understanding, progress, and meritorious action to be developed. In fact, when you attend all this session, you can perform almost all of the 10 meritorious action. You rejoice. You transfer merit, share merits. Then you do dana, offering. Then sometimes you read that law. Then you keep your precept, you renew your precept. Then you do half an hour of meditation. That's why dana, sila, bhavana, that's a meritorious action. Then you listen to dhamma, it's meritorious action. Then you strengthen your view after you listen to the dhamma, again it's meritorious action. Then you rejoice, sadha, sadha, sadha. Then you share merit, transfer merit. Then after that you provide service to help the Buddhist community or the Kalamita and all those things. service to others. So all these are meritorious action. So this meritorious action, they will bring forth good merits for your karmic nature. Then your spiritual nature will also receive it when you have the understanding. Then not only that, this 2 hour pass that you spend while you are here, your mind states are very different. Instead of being heedless, getting into trouble unnecessarily, you are reaping the spiritual benefit. That's the reason why the Buddha said, even if you keep your precept, it brings about a lot of benefit. Because precept, sila, silena sukantiyanti. Precept is a source of spiritual happiness, spiritual joy. This is sukanti, sukang, yanti. Then silena, bhoga sambaran, is a source of spiritual wealth. So when you come to this type of class, you renew your precept, you receive a lot of spiritual wealth, spiritual understanding, spiritual blessing, and all those things. It's like a synergy. Those are the cases for the community of monks. So you offer dana, all those things. Then after that, they will share merit, transfer merit, then they invoke protection for you, or blessing for you. Then after that, they will give a short Dhamma talk. Then you rejoice, and you get protected, honestly. But here, we divide it through kayamitaship, Dhamma friends. So we have our spiritual Dhamma activity that can actually bring forth such great condition. That's why you get to benefit tremendously. So this is how all this become possible. Then as you become different, you have the ability to be a blessing to others. You can start with your family members, Lasana. Then your parents, your in-law, your neighbor, and your office colleague, and all those things. They will see that you are already different. Then they will be interested in what you do. How come you are so different now? Especially a lot of clear people. They really change for the better, especially their friends, their spouse. They can see, they know. Even for Alicia's case, remember, Elsie was a good friend. But after she recovered, after coming to my class for a while, the last time she was in depression for 16 years, really severe. And one day he wanted to benefit Elsie, so he visited Elsie. Then the sister came, no, Elsie's sister. Long time he hadn't met Alicia. Then he saw Alicia was so different now compared to last time. This was not the old Alicia anymore. This one is so calm, so peaceful, so understanding. The character, the personality also different, so bubbly. So much joy can enter in you. Then the sister straight away tell Elsie, is this your friend, the Alicia? How come she is so different? That's why because of that, Elsie developed the faith now. He said, my sister also can see you. There must be something that changed her until she became like that. And then, Alicia started to say, I understand you also meditate, but I realize what you're doing is different. He said, I met this person, he helped me to understand so many things. I hope you can come and join his class. And because of that, I think quite a number of years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, he came to the class first time. Immediately after that, until today, she still attend the class. Then she bring the husband, she bring the daughter, and she also brought the son. So these are the things that can happen. People can feel you. People can really sense you because you are different. You will change. some skills also, I remember. Together with Paramaswami. Actually, not long after they attend my class, now at first, like, Paramaswami told us to, think doesn't like to attend this type of thing. Then one day, like, our spirit team had to fetch Paramaswami. Then he told me, when to come in or not? Otherwise, you have to wait in the car, or you have to go and drink, then come back and fetch it. Then we have been reluctantly come in. After that day, we continue with the fast until today, you know. Then, after about 2 months, I remember, about 2 or 3 months, they invited me and my wife for dinner together with Su An and Nifong. I remember our Indian restaurant there. You know what happened? Some neighbor to her was smiling and thanked me, really, thank you so much. I said, why? He said, thank you, thank you. Then later I came to know, he said, now Paramaswami becomes so different now, so good now. He said, it makes my life so much better. So that was the real impact. Then I realized, small thing like that, Dhamma can actually make people understand, appreciate, and the relationship become different. Then even our Christina case as well, the classmate is always surprised. She last time, you know, she was like Joyce on, drink a lot late night and all those things. Very heedless. And she, after Muslim and attentively changed, then she decided to learn many things. The classmate said her English very lousy or whatever. But surprisingly, she started to express some very good English words. Until the classmate was a surprise. Then some of the classmates she brought came, they answered, you know what where I come on that day. Because she was our classmate. Her English very lousy, and she very heedless. All of a sudden, it takes us this type of message about life and all those things. It's so different. That's why they were very important. And he said, my mission is to find out who is this Brother Teo. So these are the things that can happen. So the new consciousness, like you mentioned about the new, the book, the Ekatoli, is possible. It's happening, actually. And like I said, Malaysia is very blessed because if we have not changed the government, you know what happened or not. I tell you, you go the way of Argentina or Venezuela. You know what happened to Venezuela recently? Because of the government, the corruption and all those things. The whole country, the currency went bust. The currency inflation was 1,000,000%. They were talking about how many percent a day? 1,000% a day. You know what is 1,000,000%? 1,060,000 is it? Take away 2. So, the cost of the beginning of the year become 10,000 times more end of the year. You understand? 10,000 times more, 1,040,000. So, the people they complain until, if they sell their house, they say $500,000 of their money, you know now the $500,000 can buy what? 1 cup of coffee a day. The inflation becomes like that. And the government got to give them coupon, no? Without this coupon, you cannot get food, no? And the coupon is legal tender that the government recommends. But limit to about, like, $5 per person per day. So bad. Then after that, maybe the currency is worthless. They say you buy tissue paper, you need more currency than the tissue paper. You might as well use the currency to clean your business. So this is happening. That's why I say we are very blessed. The consciousness evolved until everything fell into place. It is easy to remove an incumbent government of 61 years and hardcore governments of all. Like all the, everything you name they have on. So not easy. Not easy. So this is the aspect that we have to understand. Dhamma can bring forth this understanding and transformation. transformation in us. So I finish your question already. Huh? So now I come back to Taimion. The first part I answer already. Okay? Second part also I answer more or less there already, a little bit more to go. So what you can do is the past condition and the past condition and support your life, okay? Here the word support got two meanings now, negative and positive. So it can support you negatively also, but it can support you positively also when you do wholesomeness. Yeah. But it will definitely condition you. So it will condition and support you, but it will not dominate over you. This is not predestined. This every moment from now onward, moment to moment, you can introduce new consciousness, new karmic consciousness that is wholesome, beautiful. Then if you cultivate the real wisdom, you will have the understanding to avoid all those conditions for negative karma. Then you can avoid karma indirectly using wisdom. That's why they ask the Buddha, how can we avoid karma? The Buddha says, one of the ways is wisdom. When you have wisdom, you can avoid them. Wisdom comes from mindfulness, heedfulness. When you are mindful, sensitive, aware, and you understand, you can avoid a lot of things. The other example that I used to give is, last time when I bought this Toyota Altis as a new car, the year 2004, about 14 years ago. I got this physics teacher, you know, that Mr. Kang. So he saw me lock my car. After 3 months, he decided to ask me the question that has been bothering him. He has been carrying on his mind. He said, "Well, what do I can't understand. This thing has been there for 3 months." He said, "I will pass you lock the door. Why do you know that? Is it? Your economy is so good, isn't it? Nobody will steal your car. Why are you still so worried?" Then I look at you, "Oh, this is what has been going on in your head, carrying on for so long." I said, "Because you don't understand. When you understand, then you think differently. This will not bother you anymore." I say, "Do you know why I lack or not? It's out of love and compassion for the heedless fellow who may not know the car belongs to me, and he go and steal. You know how severe is the karma or not? You understand? So what I did is I make it more difficult for him. I say, if there's a choice, between mine locked and the other one not locked, he will take the one not locked, right? Easier, right? So it's to avoid the condition for all these things to happen. Understand? Prevent the bad karma and all those things. Then only he start to understand. Then I explain further some more. I say, you think nature's law is like that. Oh, my power may be very good. My karma very good. I don't have to worry. Means, don't lock your car, you might as well stop the engine and leave it there and see people take karma. You create the condition for it to happen, you know, you think everything is due to karma. People are greedy, you know, "Wow, Toyota I think new, that time I can't buy insurance, my insurance company don't want to insure me. There's too much of this stolen Toyota I think, it's a very good car. After 14 years, I don't know any problem. The car is a very good car. And until today, I still drive it. It's very good. Those who have my car, they know my aircon until today, 14 years, I only service one time. No need to change anything. Even compressor, anything. No need to change. Normal servicing. And the car comes with 5 years warranty service. It's a very low maintainer and very good. So because of that, I explained to him, you have to avoid the condition. Avoid the condition means what? Don't be too flashy. And he said, "No. Buy a new car and all those things. Buy at least the Toyota is not the high end of the sadhana. Otherwise, you get into trouble for nothing. Then, even I renovate my house, inside I do it out, because nobody see when they do a visit my house, they see. But outside, I refuse to change the gate, you know. My two gate last time before, I think that it was very lousy, you know. When I bought my own, it was like that. Then when I bought my house, it was like that. So I told my wife, don't change the gate. Leave it like that. So it looked like two houses separate. But inside actually back two already. Why you want to attract attention? Well, I was doing the renovation. People know I do renovation. Luckily, I say facade, not important. And I said, presentable enough. And I said, not too shabby. Otherwise, it costs the property of the neighbor to go down. So I do it reasonable, but I insist my gate I don't change. As I say, far so good, very peaceful. But there are a lot of even Kayanamita, because of their nice car, broke in of the house. Car also stolen. Recently, Yun Chan also went through a good experience. But all insured, don't worry. The husband got a very nice muscle, very beautiful car. Then with the Honda, both also gone. Come in, handphone, everything gone. Wallet also took, money got, the wallet on the table. But I say I don't take nothing. So this is the thing that can happen if you attract unnecessary attention. So to avoid the condition is, don't go and create condition unnecessary. Don't go and tell people a lot of things. Sometimes they want to boost their image. They didn't really speak the truth. They add water and add not add salt. Add salt is make you miserable. This one is like make it like flavor, rich flavor. He actually not so wealthy, not so rich, but he want to boast to you, You're not careful, they will get around. Then they will visit you. Then sometimes your Facebook, you better limit to your close friend, I rely on friend. Otherwise, you got too many friends. These people got nothing to do. They look for victims. You know how they look for victims. How many of you are insurance salesmen? Or salesmen? They got give you this type of talks. You all haven't attended all these sales, what they call direct selling. They teach you how to what they call get your business, understand or not? They call one, client. That's a type of what? Sales tactic, yeah, correct. But they teach you how to, choose your client or not. There's a marketing strategy, how to actually select and shortlist your good client that a prospect, they call it prospect. You heard of this word, prospect. PROSPECT. Your prospect means got prospect to buy from you, to give you business. So they teach you how to choose prospect now. So this burglar, this robber, you know how they choose prospect now? They go to Facebook. This one, travel a lot. A lot of money, flash around. But you send to my parameter site, no problem. But you go to all those people who, they see your story for tourism, then they resend, then they help you to publicize. Come on. So, be sensitive. Then somebody through the Facebook and your handphone, they can know your location. So, if you can avoid the condition, what I mean is, don't create fear for yourself and yourself, you better be careful. No, forget about it. Take care of karma first, then life not too low. Means avoid the condition. I won't say avoid condition, avoid unnecessary condition. Understand? So that things will be small and appropriate in accordance. Then you get to live your life. You can have good life, no problem. But you don't have to publicize, advertise, and so you can share with people. But social media, you have to be a bit careful, and so especially your circle of friends. But somebody are new to IT team, not tech savvy. You know what happened? You suddenly click on the Facebook, you don't know what you are doing now. Actually, you open up all your secrets to everybody. For no reason, all of a sudden you see the 10,000 followers. Without you knowing it. So you have to understand. So why? Very difficult for you to see. You are limited to only, not that many people, only people whom I know. And even they know me, also, they don't like to look at the thing I write. And I got a website also, very few people know. But they want it. Condition will manifest accordingly. So no need to be well-known or famous. It let the word of mouth, that one is more effective, word of mouth. And a lot of people came to me because of words of mouth. In fact, I used to tell them, most of you, I don't know, you come through all the various people that bring you here. Even this room, except my wife. The rest all come indirectly. They are not, except Suyan and me from there, my yummy mate. So, the question now, complete, means to write a condition. But if it's not done with you, then only the moment you have a choice, you have wisdom, you are heedful, mindful, and you know what to do, then you know how to avoid all the conditions for negative karma to arise. Then you just continue to cultivate wholesomeness about it and build up your karmic nature. So this one, the karmic nature, as you move with understanding, this karmic nature will be all the way up. Understand? When you follow the advice of the Buddha, avoid all evil, you could purify your mind, then develop the noble eightfold path, then your destiny, your karmic future, all beautiful, spiritual nature, all beautiful. But the past, you cannot change, understand? So just now regarding locking my car, it's not to say I stop. It's because I know, before I know the Dhamma, the distant past, I don't know what my former mind did, understand? I could have stolen people's car, understand? So if I don't avoid the condition, if I avoid the condition, your part of me is after you know the Dhamma, understand? But before you know the Dhamma, you know what you do, You're crazy, That's why you don't try to be a hero, understand? For me, if there is condition to avoid, I will avoid one. Not to say I'm conservative, because you never know what you did in the past. Even the Buddha, Sakyamuni, he told you what happened to Chincha Isidharasi, even because in the past he didn't know. That's why Bodhisattva, or before he became a Bodhisattva, he abused a particular Buddha, and he put sand into the particular Buddha's butt now. And because of that, the last meal he get into trouble and everything. That's what he did. Even Samosa Buddha also got the type of past karma, he think is better than Samosa Buddha. That's why don't go and foolishly think, I cultivate that, no, my merit very good, no, I not scared on You don't avoid condition. Anything can happen, literally. Because through real life, I saw and I avoided many of these. The other one to avoid is to making aspiration vow and seek the great beings to affinity the great beings and seek their protection, blessing and guidance. These three are very important. Protection is for the family mind. Because of that, this family mind survived 3 times. Otherwise it would have been dead before even tonight. Then blessing and guidance also very important. That's why all this comes from wisdom, understanding. Okay, we quickly go to this page. I hope to finish this page. This one is based on lesson 81, six patriarch from Sutta. If you want to get more detail, Tuesday class, then listen to the recording. It's very detailed. I went through also. So today, Thursday class, I will go through you, but I will skim through because I have only 20 minutes. Okay, the first point is, if we do not use the mundane mind, the silent mind will be there. This one is easier to understand now. True or not? Because as a human being, you can only do one thing at a time. You are either aware or lost in thought. Understand? True or not? If you are thinking, preoccupied with what you think, you are lost in thought. Then you cannot be aware. If you are aware, you cannot think. Understand? Then you are aware. So the moment the heedless thinking is not there, means the moment you do not use your mundane mind to create thinking, then the true mind will surface. Then the true mind is always there. Okay? So this is very easy. So if you do not use the mundane mind, the silent mind or the true mind will be there. Then use the silent mind to investigate the Dhamma and to meditate. Because without the silent mind or sati, you cannot investigate Dhamma. Dhamma vichaya, the second factor enlightenment. So you have to have a silent mind to investigate the truth. Otherwise you use your thought, which is thinking. And thinking will give rise to knowledge, but not give rise to wisdom. So when you investigate, you need to be aware, silent, with clarity. Just like you want to understand a child. You have to silently observe the kid, what he do and how he fall and how he cry. And then you understand him. But if you keep on commenting, say, boy, cannot do this, cannot do that, stupid, this is not the way. You can never understand the kid, isn't it? What you are doing is you are trying to discipline him, control, using your thought, your conditioned mind. This is good for you. And you try to prevent him from doing all those funny things. And you do that, comically, when it happens, in future, you have parents that control you back. You want or not? If you don't want, you better don't control your children. But doesn't mean you don't do anything. Well, your duty as parent is very important. This is karmic duty. That's why there is this enlightened thing, the salutation to the Sangha of good conduct is the order of the disciple of the Buddha. Then the second one is of upright conduct. This is doing your virtues. Sorry, you are very upright. Means you are very righteous in the way you do things. The third one is of wise conduct. You have wisdom. That's why you can be enlightened. The last one is of dutiful conduct. That one is the duty that the enlightened being will have with regards to relationship. So as parents, you've got a duty to give birth to them, bring them to this world, care for them, provide for them, take care of them, and advise them and bring them up. And there are other conditions under the Sagaravada Sutta. One of the requirements is arrange for the marriage, but now not relevant to the civilization. Last time, yes. Then when the right time comes, hand over your inheritance, the Buddha said. So these are the things that is advised by the Buddha. Mm. But what you need to understand is all this, you reap what you sow. If you do this for your children, you advise them, do your duty well, means you are responsible. You provide for their well-being, their education, their needs, or whatever. Then you care for them, sacrifice for them, and protect them, and do a lot of things for them. This is what parents will be able to do. Then the other one is to advise. Advice means their life, let them live. Your duty is to share your experience and advise them. If I were you, I would do it this way. But your life, you better decide. You better find out what is it that is best for you. So have the basic understanding not to harm people, not to deceive, cheat, and take advantage of people. But there is this nature's law. So advise them on the teaching, the Dhamma. Then you have to tell them. It's not a question of you believe or you don't believe. Because as your parent, we went through, we understand, and we witness them. And this is nature's law, truth, that nobody can challenge. So leave it to them to decide. Then they will come back to you because you are an understanding parent. Because you say, don't worry, any problem come back, we discuss. Then I just advise. Decision you make, your life, understand? Oh, then they very keen to come back, I tell you. Otherwise, come back, hey boy, don't play a fool, cannot. This lady you cannot marry. Oh, I tell you, kao la. Or sometimes you even object to their, to their idea of trying to buy something. So a lot of unnecessary conflict arise because of misunderstanding. And they call it the generation gap. It's not the generation gap. It's your inability to understand your role. As a parent, you got your duty. There is no conflict. If you do it correctly, it's beautiful. Like that day, the Thursday class, I share about relationship, how to enter into a marriage contract. You go and listen. It's very good. Okay, next one. So you use the silent mind to investigate and meditate, okay? So this is straightforward. Then the three hallmarks of Hui Ning's unique teaching. First one is no thought, means to realize the true mind. So this no thought must be born of a free mind. Then you can realize the sainthood way, the glimpse of Nibbana, enlightenment. Then the message is very important, the Dhamma. Without thought, you are already aware in sati. So don't try to be aware. The silent mind, which is the meditative mind, is just aware, nothing else. Cultivator must allow the mundane mind to naturally cease. We are not doing anything. This is wisdom, to realize the true mind. The mundane mind is the thinking mind, which is dependent originating. That is dependent on ignorant mental activity comes to be. Avijja paccaya sankhara. Only need to maintain awareness via allowing the mundane mind to return to its original state of stillness and silence before the stirring of the mind. So if you understand all these mental emotion, evil roots, they come because of your delusion. So when you are deluded, you react and stir at the moment of sense experience. That's how you become afflicted. That all these emotion, fear, worry, anxiety, anger, sorrow, lament, come about because of conditioned arising state. So they are not you. Your anger is not you. Your fear is not you. Your sorrow and lamentation is not you. So why do you grieve and become afflicted? You just silent and allow it to be, then it will cease to be. We are dependent on condition they arise. When your wrong view is no more, when you don't stir, when don't you react, your content of consciousness will cease to be. Then you return to your original state of silence, stillness, the true mind before the movement. This true mind is only aware. When it is only aware, there is no thought. No thought means what?
no reaction, no stirring, no emotion, nothing. No fear, no worry, no anxiety. It's only peace, clarity, tranquility, stillness. Mm. So all this will be there. No mark. This one is for the Bodhisattva way. No mark of a self cultivating, no mark of others, and no mark of life or existence and Dhamma. Then the last one is no dwelling, the Bodhisattva way. When your mind does not dwell, means it's just aware, it doesn't stay somewhere. The moment you perceive something, you dwell there, understand? So when you are mindful, aware, you have this specific awareness, phenomenal awareness, specific phenomenal awareness, or spacious awareness, or mindfulness without a center. It's just aware. Then it just flow with the phenomenal, silent, just aware. So this is how the mind can be in that state of non-dwelling. I mean, it doesn't dwell anywhere. It doesn't get lost anywhere, preoccupied anything. It's just fully aware all the time. Then number four. Oh, sorry. There is a last sentence. 1 to 3 means the three hallmarks. No thought, no mark, and no dwelling. The three hallmarks of Hui Neng's teaching are actually the Diamond Sutta teaching. That's why when you cultivate to that level, you are following Diamond Sutta's teaching. That's why this sutta is called the Diamond Sutta, the hardest of them all, the most profound. Then number four, we grasp and cling onto the form and mind because of sakayadity or self-delusion. We think this form and mind or the human being is real, and we exist as a permanent unchanging entity that we can call self. The five aggregates of form and mind are empty because they are impermanent. It's not a permanent and unchanging entity, that's why it is unreal. That's why empty. Then number six, the four circle. This one is the way of consciousness. This is how it happened. From the source, your true nature. The first to come out is the pure awareness. Just aware. It's not a person. It's not an entity. It's not a human being. It's just the awareness before the arising of thought or mind. Then after that, the mind starts to stir. Then the first thought of ignorance conditions you to create the mundane mind. So the mundane mind come about because we have a physical body with the senses. So upon contact of consciousness with the senses, we can give rise to the appropriate sense door consciousness. We can be conscious of seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile and thought process. So the sixth sense door created the sixth type of sense door consciousness. And this is how you know the world. This is how you create the phenomenal world. So you see the way of consciousness from the source, the pure awareness come out. Then from there, you create the mundane mind. Then when the mundane mind arise, you create the phenomenal world. That is how you get lost. Then you have to return them all. From the phenomenal world, when you meditate, you see clearly that they arise from the mundane mind. That's why the Buddha say, mind is a forerunner of all things. When mind arises, everything arises. So this is how it happens. Then when you silence your mundane mind, all of creation cease to be. Then form delusion no more, where it cease to have power over you. But the mundane mind still has its delusion. So this mundane mind, you must also learn how to see beyond the mundane mind. When you see beyond the mundane mind, you see the true mind. Then you realize the true mind is before the creation. That's how you return everything to the pure awareness, silent. Then from there, you understand how the living being form, develop, delusion, and create all this phenomenal world. Then deludedly grasp, cling, and hold, creating their own suffering and misery. Then the triangle number seven is very good. So from the pure awareness or pure consciousness, the sea up there, you can move two way. One way is towards the right, creating mundane seeing. So the senses down there is where your form and mind is, the five aggregate of form and mind. So with the senses and the pure consciousness, it triggers off mundane consciousness, the seeing consciousness, the hearing consciousness, smell, taste, tactile, and thought consciousness. So this is mundane living within the phenomenal world. If you move towards the left, that is the direct seeing, means you don't use the thought, you just aware. And when you are just aware, you see things as they are. That's what the direct seeing is all about. When you see something without words, without concept, without your brain, your conditioned mind coming in to interfere, to tell you all those stories, then you see things as they are, like a baby, newborn baby. Just see the pure awareness, the pure perception. Then through that direct seeing, when you can see things as they are, you understand and you awaken, because you can insight into the universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, and non-self, anicca, dukkha, anatta. That's how you awaken. When you awaken, you develop wisdom down there. And this is the meditative way. So from the silent mind, the pure awareness, you develop the direct seeing to awaken. Then after that, with the wisdom connected to the senses or the form and mind, you can live the noble life of an enlightened being. That's how you transform and become beautiful. Eh? Next page. The phenomenal world is a world of consciousness and it's not real because it is dependent originating, hence impermanent and empty. And we created the phenomenal world with our mundane mind, via our mundane consciousness. So reason why the Buddha said, mind is a forerunner of all things, mind is chief. And when mind arise, all things, all the mind-right things within the phenomenal world arise. So number 9, you trace the origination factor on why the mind stir. For according to the Buddha, whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind. When conditions are such like that, things will be like that. Cannot be otherwise. So accept this reality as wisdom to deal with things in life. For this is suchness, ta-ta-ta. The isness of things. The truth, the reality of our conditioned world, which is governed by nature's law. Yeah. So this is how you should approach life with this understanding. Then Sister Engby shared her recent holiday experience in France, where her family encountered an unpleasant incident and how she was able to just stay aware with understanding and not get involved with what happened. She can accept the reality of the moment with understanding because things are just the way they are. She saw clearly why all parties involved were behaving just the way they are. Their anger, their emotion leading to all the misunderstanding and commotion were so vividly expressed. That's why she remained calm, peaceful, and she was mindfully observing all this. That's why she was able to resolve it. And it doesn't affect her at all. Then number 12, Vertio advised that the most important thing in life is to what? Huh? You're not reading, huh? Resolve everything? Amicably via wisdom. You can do that, you got no problem in life. So you have to resolve everything via wisdom and understanding without being egoic. You must see your egoic mind. When you argue with your spouse, your ego is there, wanting to be right. Then number 13, Sister Tammy shared an incident on how her inner nature was able to suddenly spoke and share from her heart and not from memory. Her mundane mind just cannot understand what happened. You go and listen to the Sunday sharing. It's very interesting. Do not mistake memory, which is knowledge, as wisdom. When we commit whatever understanding to memory, it becomes knowledge. Because memory is always the past, no more a reality. So when you have certain insight or awakening, remember, don't go and try to commit to memory and remember it. Then it becomes knowledge. Because wisdom is such, The moment you understand the nature connected, the understanding is always there within your nature. You don't have to remember. When the situation arise, when condition arise, you will know what to do. Don't go and worry, ayo, if I don't commit to memory, I cannot remember. No? Because you try to contemplate and reflect, then you write everything down, then you think, oh, now I understand, I must remember this. When you commit to memory, it becomes rigid, knowledge. Then from here, you want to act now. You are not using your wisdom and understanding. You are using knowledge to act. Right? Cannot. That time you will recall. What did Brother Teo say? What did the Buddha say? How should I act? Oh, I must act amicably with wisdom and understanding. This is memory. Yes or no? It's no more your understanding. Your understanding is, I ask you to develop this understanding so that you can act that way, you understand? Or not depending on that memory, you understand? Or what I say, you understand? Understand? Or? Otherwise, you cannot do it because it's memory. Then what I mean by amicably? Amicably according to you, you know? That is not amicably, you know? You understand? Or? Huh. We are right according to you. It's not the nature's law. So you need to develop the wisdom and the understanding. Okay, the next part is understand clearly what constitutes evil so that we can deal with them. The same goes for all the other essential dhamma so that we know how to use them to develop the cultivation. So you have to understand what constitutes evil, very important. So similarly for the other essential dhamma, the five spiritual faculty, the seven factors. You must understand what are they. Even the four noble truths, the three turning all things. It's just like how you understand the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Yes, what constitutes evil, you must understand. The evil roots are the root of all evil. Then number 16, last one. Develop wisdom where the direct seeing, then we will be able to live in the world of mark and yet not affected by them because we know they are illusionary and not real. So this one is very important. Huh? We have to develop wisdom via the direct seeing. Then you will be able to live in the world of mark without being affected by it. So this is the real living. Because your wisdom will tell you that they are all illusionary and not real. Okay, at least we cover this sharing, huh? Yes. Oh, mark. Mark is a Mahayana term. When there is a mark of a cell, means like this whiteboard. When it's white, there is no mark, isn't it? Correct, huh? But when your mind cling onto something, then there is a mark. Means there is a mark of a self cultivating. Means you think you are real. You are a cultivator. Understand? This is a mark. Then because you think you are real, you will think others is real. That's why the mark of living beings is also another mark. Then the mark of Dhamma, life, existence. These are all not real. Understand? But you cling, you hold. That's why it become a mark. It's like the whole whiteboard is not white anymore. You stain it with the mark. Understand? And this is true delusion. Where you can't understand. Like this mind, you don't do anything. Now it comes back to normal. You keep on worrying about it, agitated by it. It won't return to normal. That's why I say the Dhamma is very beautiful. That answer your question. This is the uniqueness of Hui Ning's teaching. His teaching is very unique. Because when you go through this three level of cultivation, you become very different. Your cultivation has reached that refinement of understanding. Because according to Diamond Sutta, those who cultivate with this understanding, your parami and your merit compared to those cultivating the sainthood way or the using the mundane mind on the ordinary cultivator or meditator is world apart. Cannot compare. Because under the Diamond Sutta, it stated, whoever who has cultivated the Diamond Sutta and understood the Diamond Sutta, he just have to take 4 stanzas from the Diamond Sutta and able to share with the world and explain it to the world. You know, the merits that this particular cultivator develop, there is no comparison, he said. Even if you are a cultivator within the mundane world, he said, let's say you are a monk or a 8 precept cultivator, or 5 precept or whatever, you are a cultivator. Even if you are given, he said, the, how many, 8 treasure of the universe, huh? 7 treasure, yeah, sorry, yeah. 7 treasure. The Mahayana got the name of all this treasure. Even if you are given limitless of this treasure, then let's say with your virtue, where you are a preceptor or you are a monk or what, then you offer all this to all the Buddhas of the 3 period of time. He said your merits is nowhere compared to that guy who cultivate the Diamond Sutta and share that 4 stanza with the living being. You know why he's so powerful? No? Because he's sharing not only no thought, no thought already give rise to the true mind, realize the true mind, can realize the sainthood way, the enlightenment. Sotapan, Sakadagami, Anagami, or Arahant. Then when you go to the Noma, this is the Bodhisattva way, you know. The Bodhisattva cultivate with the understanding that there is no being inside there. There is no self or personality, yeah, to develop the cultivation. There is no self cultivating. Then there is no living being. Yeah. But yet, they can come to the world and live among living beings. Yeah. Means within the conditioned world of Mark, yeah, they can live the life without Mark because of their understanding. So when it comes to the conditioned world, law of karma, they know. Law of karma recognizes a relationship. There is Mark. And they will know how to accord and flow. They will do their duty. Understand? That's why the enlightened being got this right duty, of right duty. Not only good and upright, wise, but dutiful conduct. That's why this is karma. Yeah. Then at the same time, they know there is he know you, he know me. That's why they don't worry about this body getting old, getting sick and die. And they know there is no real, permanent, unchanging entity within. The 5 aggregate of form and mind are impermanent, lead to suffering, empty. That's why they will not be deluded. They will not cling, they will not hold. They will understand this one is a vehicle and a tool for you to come. Karmically conditional for you to use. And they just use it. Understand? This is a wisdom. That's why it's very different. So when they understand to this level, their wisdom is so high. Their understanding is so high. That's why their merit is beyond limitless. Then when they reach the 3rd phase, which are only reachable by very advanced bodhisattva who has developed the understanding of the 3rd stage of Bodhi mind development, means they have connect and realized that true nature. Yeah. That's why after that, no more problem. They can renounce samsara and just perfect under the 4th stage, perfect the 10 perfection. So to renounce samsara means you already know this nature never die. This nature is different. Yeah. Then they know all this. No mark and no dwelling. That's why every light they come, their mind are different. They don't dwell anywhere. That's why they cannot be afflicted. They cannot be deceived, deluded. They cannot get into trouble anymore. That's why that type of cultivation is very, very different. Very supreme. Okay? a bit late already. We have to end. You want to know more, you can listen to the Sunday class and Tuesday class. Okay, we rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So after this, we go to China. Then Sui An come back. Text a message to Sui An to buy 2 more units. As spare. So that will solve our problem. Now, look back to normal. Isn't it? The distortion all gone. Isn't it? So, very funny. It's always like that. Okay, let us share merits and transfer merit. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu loka sasana eta wata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu Yawa nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you can pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. There we end.
One person hold down there, the other one turn. Brother, you hold down there. Pang sure can one. Pang lat one. Pang, this one you don't have yet.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sai lang pre video. So you need pang. You can take back, no problem. No, I got enough.
Yeah, I'm just going to cry. Who is collecting this?